Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The text for this Feast of the Holy Innocents is from our Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 2. It follows the story of three magi who were led by a star. But this was no ordinary star, as it rose from the east, leading the magi to Bethlehem, the city of David. There they found a baby wrapped in cloth and sleeping in a manger. They offered to this baby a kingly gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After delivering their offerings, they bowed down to worship this newborn king. This act reveals what was going through the mind of these three magi. This was an acknowledgement that this baby Jesus was no ordinary child. No, in fact, he was true man and true God. However, not everybody was filled with joy for this moment of this coming Messiah, of this coming and promised Messiah. The Edomite king, Herod the Great, was troubled over the birth of Jesus, for he was at best a false king. And he was worried that he would lose his position as king of Judea at that time to this newborn king. Herod's words suggested that he too would go and worship the baby once he was found. But in his heart proved that he only cared for his own status and sought to murder the baby. No, Herod, unworthy of the title of king, would go on to repeat the tragedy recorded in Israel's history, Pharaoh's order to slaughter the innocent baby boys of the Hebrews. Once he learned that the three magi deceived him, Herod would give the order to slay all male children in Bethlehem and in the entire region, all males of 2 years old or under. In this merciless act of tyranny, Herod attempted to end what he perceived as a threat to his own power. In a way, these holy innocents could be seen as martyrs, dying on account of the birth of Christ, but not by their own will. They had no choice, no ability to defend themselves, since they were only 2 years old or younger. They were martyred solely for the fact that they were babies born in Bethlehem. However, even if they weren't capable of perceiving their circumstance, understanding doctrine, or confessing Christ as their Lord, their deaths still point to Christ. This leads us to our theme of this text. The death of these martyrs proclaim Jesus Christ. Matthew records Herod's response. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Herod correctly perceives that the three magi did not intend to share the location of the child with him. The only hint he had was from the prophet Micah, who had written, "This pointed to Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah. Desperate to hold on to his status as king and unable to find the location of the child, Herod resolves to follow in the footsteps of Pharaoh in the Exodus by commanding the slaughter of every male who was 2 years old or younger. Just like the baby Moses, Jesus would live." Herod's decision to slaughter every 2-year-old in Bethlehem speaks to his cruelty. He turned his position and status into an idol. This idol ruled over his ability to make decisions. We can all agree that Herod the Great was an awful human being. Also, how can we compare ourselves to a man like this? After all, King Herod was willing to have young boys murdered for the sake of his own power. I will answer this question with a simple statement. The idols of yesterday are the idols of today. This idol could take the form of an unrighteous supervisor who is willing to ruin the reputation of one of his workers in order to prevent him from being promoted. It could also take the form of a man or woman holding on to hatred due to a grudge against his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It can also take the form of an abortion, the taking of a life of an innocent child. However, as we remember these holy innocents, we also remember the Christ who was born of a virgin in order to sacrifice himself to atone for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ would eventually face the same murderous intent from those who wished to crucify him using the most brutal method known to man. Despite Satan's murderous intent manifested by Herod's desire to slaughter, God would never let the coming of his kingdom fail. The child spared from the fate of the holy innocents would go on to shed his blood for the sake of you and the sake of the world. He died for each and every one of you. And this is the comfort that I want to leave for you. Every Sunday morning, when your pastor proclaims the forgiveness of sins in confession and absolution, this forgiveness of sins won for you on the cross is applied to each and every one of you. When you are reminded of your baptism every Sunday morning, you are reminded that you receive the forgiveness of sins. For you have been made a child of God and adopted into his family when his holy name was splashed on your foreheads. So even if the guilt remains of these sins and it weighs heavily on your mind, whether that takes the form of an unrighteous supervisor or from that person who is holding a grudge against his neighbor, or possibly an abortion, you can be certain that our Lord washed all your sins away with his own holy and precious blood. You have been declared righteous by God, and your enemies, sin, death, and the devil, have been vanquished. Matthew continues, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." This quote from the prophet Jeremiah describes the distress of the mothers and fathers who grieved for their young boys. Much like Rachel, who grieved for her loss, as described in this quote, there was cause for parents in Bethlehem to refuse to be comforted. This would have mirrored the grieving of the Hebrews who lost their boys by Pharaoh, and also foreshadowing the weeping of Mary at the foot of the cross. However, this quote reveals one important connection to Christ, a fulfillment of Scripture. This is an excellent time to point out that God is not the source of evil, Although God existed outside of time and space, and although he knew the ultimate conclusion, he tempts no one and is not the source of Herod's evil thoughts and actions. God does, however, use these evil actions of man in ways that we ourselves cannot foresee or predict. Ultimately, the evil actions of sinful men are unwittingly used for God's purpose and will, just as in the loss of these holy innocents. This quote points to the reading of Matthew's gospel, to the one who would ultimately bring an end to the sorrow caused by sin and death. A reminder of this is found shortly after the verse quoted from the Old Testament reading. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Just as God promised in his word, the hope for the future came that Christmas day in the form of God's only Son. The sorrow felt by those mothers and fathers would eventually be comforted and their hope in future realized in the life, death, and resurrection of the one who survived Herod's slaughter. You too may be comforted by this fact, that the baby boy, Jesus, came into this world. He was able to run the race for the sake of mankind and rose from the dead so that you might receive life and salvation through the means of grace given to you. For those who repent, for those with repentant hearts, receive the forgiveness of sins. God had ordained that the Son of God would survive that night so that he would be able to run the race, fulfilling the law and prophecy. This is the feat that only he, being true God and true man, could accomplish. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. It is interesting that Joseph doesn't hesitate to follow the angel of the Lord's command, but not surprising either. Having grown up and raised with the Old Testament scriptures, he would have known the significance of a dream from Joseph in the book of Genesis. This dream, along with the command from the angel of the Lord, would have strengthened his faith. He did not question why God was sending him and his family to Egypt. He just merely rose and took the child and his mother out of harm's way as commanded. Herod's scheme would be foiled before his plans came to fruition, as the Messiah was safely carried to Egypt, as was spoken by the prophet Micah. In a way, this points to Christ taking on the identity of the true Israel, his lineage going back to Jacob and Abraham, as found in Matthew chapter 1, supports this fact. Where Israel failed to keep the law given to them by God through Moses, Jesus Christ was able to do so. He is also a representative of these holy innocents. For they themselves would be considered sons of Abraham and Jacob. So Jesus Christ was the perfect substitute. Where mankind failed, especially Israel, Christ did not. Instead, Jesus Christ would be that perfect, blameless lamb, taking on the sins of these holy innocents. He sacrificed his own body, allowing his blood to be shed in the most brutal fashion, all for the sake of you, me, and the saints who have already fallen asleep. Ultimately, he put our old enemies, including our own sins, death and the devil, under his feet, conquering them for all eternity. This is where the hope of those mothers and fathers for their mourning child lies. In that final resurrection, where every saint will be raised from the dead, gathered together in his eternal kingdom. So on this feast of holy innocents, remember that the deaths of these martyrs proclaim the hope that is found in the life and work of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.